All right. So we're ready. I hope you're ready for today's program because there's more questions and we're looking for more answers. But that's okay because I love this one, which is called Crisis. And that's where we are. We are in the middle of a crisis on so many fronts. We have to pick on a day-to-day basis, which crisis are we going to respond to today? See, we have to pick. That's how intense the situation is. Okay, but I'm going to ask you some questions today, and I'm hoping you would be generous enough to respond. I don't want to get into your business. I want to, however, share your thoughts or help you share your thoughts on particular questions that I think we should all be pondering at this time. We have to start asking questions. And more importantly, we have to start trying to figure out for ourselves what our answers to these questions are. All right, I hope you're ready. By the way, I'll give you a heads up. 888-874-4888 is the number to call, so I don't have to wait before you're ready. You can have at your hand the number to call, and so we accelerate the program. Okay. First question: will you be voting in the presidential election this year? Yes or no? And then I will follow that question with why or why not? Simple. Will you be voting in the presidential election this year? And then I want to know why or why not? 888-874-4888. It may sound like a simple question, but it isn't. Because it requires, if you're thinking about it, requires you to go to some depth to explore that question and your potential answer a bit deeper than you normally would. We normally don't ask ourselves this question: will I be voting this year or will I not be voting this year? And hopefully by now, you have some idea, or it's beginning to fulminate within you, what your answer to that question would very likely be. Will you be voting in the presidential election this year? If so, why? If not, why not? If you are inclined to share those thoughts with us, that would be great. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And we want to move swiftly. We don't want you to be, completely immobilized by a question that you can't get to the phone or you can't answer the question. If not, I'll move along. 888-874-4888. This requires us to, these are questions you should have figured out by now, which way you're leaning, and you should have the answer somehow reasonably ready in your head. Okay, so I'll move on to the next question since I don't see any questions on the board. All right, here's number two. Do you mind sharing your reasons for voting or not voting? Do you mind sharing your reasons for voting, assuming, of course, that you will be voting, or not voting, assuming you have already decided you will not be voting? If you don't mind sharing your reasons, we'd love to hear what those reasons are. All right. I don't see any numbers. I don't see any names. We're moving along. We don't have time to wait until the train comes into the station. All right. We're thinking that you have some of these questions reasonably figured out and that you can move fairly quickly in answering them. All right. Third question I want to ask you is, can you recall a year that you voted in a presidential election that you felt made a difference? Who was the candidate, and what difference do you believe your vote made? I'll repeat it. Can you recall a year that you voted in a presidential election in which you felt you made a difference? Who was the candidate, and what difference do you believe your vote made? Anybody with an answer? Let's take Eve from Edgewater. You're up first.
Thank you, Treats. How are you today?
Okay, thanks for asking. I'm all right. I hope you're in good shape as well.
Well, so far, no hurricanes hitting over here, so as long as that's not happening, then I'm happy, you know.
Great. Let's get to the question. Which question are you answering?
The first one with I don't plan to vote, and I have never voted, because when I was the young age of 9, I saw President Kennedy get murdered, and they told me that somebody, a crazy person, killed him, and then he was dead, and that's the end of the story. So since then, I've been very skeptical about the political situation in the world, and I think it's all an arrangement, and the voting's really not counted, and they put the person that they want in there. That's how the system works. They take advantage of us and lie to us, make us think that we have this power that we wield of the vote, and then they go ahead and put Donald Trump in there, you know, to scare us all into wanting Joe Biden. So this is the kind of games that go on, and why should I waste my time even paying attention to it? So that was my answer, and that was the
reason. Do you feel that you are neglecting a civic duty? Or you feel that you are entitled to exercise your opinion as you see fit?
Oh, by what I just explained, I think I'm performing a duty of being a human being and seeing through this system. Like David from Brooklyn explains to us, it's about them making things better for the upper class, the ruling class, and the people that control the world and decide who should go kill somebody and who should live and who should die. And
who
now
are
they
them
can do
that
it.
You're referring to?
Excuse me?
Who are the them that you're referring to?
The same them as David from Brooklyn, the plutocracy, the oligarchy, the ruling class, the super rich, the people that are in control of things. And they don't have to worry about releasing viruses because they're protected and they're behind gated, guarded walls. So they don't have to worry about people coming into the country and raiding them. We're the ones that are going to have to worry about all these things. So that's all who right. They are. I don't know if that makes it clearer to you who they are, because you ask me that a number of times, and you ask many people who they is. Well, you don't seem to ask David from Brooklyn, though. But he seems to say
all
who
I
they
want,
are.
Really, and that's my role, is to help you clarify, make your answer even more clear, so that anybody listening to you could understand where you're coming from. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with what you're saying. I just want clarification so that people don't have to wonder what you're talking about.
I'm apologize. I'm kind of like a little irritable because of the subject matter, and, you know, because of what they've done to us, you know, since, like I said, 9 years old, I saw Kennedy murdered, and since then, I mean, there's a lot of things involved, but and there's no time to talk about it. But that was my answer to the first question, and I hope.
Okay. I thank you for it. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. There is no right or wrong. There's just what your answer is. And if you are so generous to open a little window so that we can appreciate a little bit of depth and perspective on your answer, that would be greatly appreciated. And you've done both things. So thank you very much. 888-874-4888. We're moving along. Are you moving along with us, or are you being reticent? We don't have time for reticence today. We want to move along. 888-874-4888. The questions so far are as follows, and I'll be moving along myself if I don't see responses. Let me get my page here. Where did it go? Okay, here it is. Will you be voting in the presidential election this year? Why or why not? That was the first question. Will you be voting in the presidential election this year? Why or why not? The second question is, do you mind sharing your reason or reasons for voting or not voting? That was a question, and we just heard from E of Edgewater on that. I'll move along. Can you recall a year in which you voted in a presidential election that you felt made a difference? Who was the candidate, and what difference do you feel your vote made? I will repeat it. Can you recall a year in which you voted in a presidential election where you felt you made a difference? Who was the candidate, and what difference do you believe your vote made? Do you have an answer? Give me a call at 888-874-4888. We're pretty slow today. That's kind of irritating. You should have answers galore. And Michigan, Leona from Michigan, let's hear what your answer is. Which question are you answering, by the way?
The first one about am I voting in the presidential election this year? Listen, I don't think there is a presidential election this year. I could be mistaken.
In the coming year, the next presidential election. You're correct.
Okay. So it's no on that one, since this is not a presidential election year. So, yeah. What was the other questions, please? Sorry.
Do you mind sharing your reasons for voting or not voting in the next presidential election? And can you recall a year in which you voted in the presidential election that you felt made a difference? Who was the candidate, and what difference do you believe your vote made?
Well, I did believe that my vote made a difference in 2008 when I voted for Barack Obama. I thought that at the time. I don't know that that's true or not. But I remember working the polls that year and stuff, and seeing there was a pretty decent voter turnout that year, you know. And I was pleased when the election results came in, and that he had won, because I thought that, you know, at the time, you know, that history had been made, and that this was a new opportunity for new energy, and that, you know, change we could believe in, et cetera, et cetera. But I was mistaken in a lot of ways. However, one good thing, perhaps, that Barack Obama's presidency did do, perhaps, was that the imagery, the symbolism of that black family in the White House, and how the images of how he adoringly looked at his wife, a black couple who seemingly respected each other and cared about each other, that image on TV may have been useful for future generations. I don't know, because a lot of the imagery now, in terms of black folks, is very, you know, it's not constructive at all. So,
what is the imagery now?
Well, I've heard that there was this one recording artist who went butt naked to some event, and that was okay with her and the folks around her. You know, so that kind of imagery is not good at all. Any kind of buffoonery or, there's a whole science on brainwashing and imagery and advertising and propaganda, that harms more than it helps. In fact, I'm told that back during World War II, or the beginning of it, there was a lot of propaganda that demonized people of Jewish descent, Semites of the Jewish religion, in order to make it easier and more acceptable to wipe those people out. So there's a science behind some of this stuff.
But, okay, time has passed. Obama was in office for 2 terms. What do you think of your decision now?
Well, I think, I did what I did. I ain't going to do it again. Obama was the black face of empire, some would say. You know, he bless his heart, he carried the water of the powers that be. I understand that his other name is Barry Satoru. He was adopted by the husband of his mother's husband, Soto Latoro, some whatever. But anyway, he's part of that class of people who.
Obama, in your view, I mean, apart from your personal feelings,
yes,
was
ma'am.
Obama an effective president? And in that sense, did you make a good choice in voting for him?
Well, it depends on what category of effectiveness. Now, Glenn Ford, the late Glenn Ford, called him the more effective evil. Now, that decision about
I'm
invading.
I'm asking not about Glenn Ford's opinion. I'm asking about your opinion as a voter. You voted for Barack Obama despite mm-hmm. all the other things that were going on in your head at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have had the opportunity to look back, to evaluate, what is your conclusion? Was that a good choice or a bad choice?
You know, I'm going to have to give that some thought. I don't know if it was a good choice or bad. I wouldn't do it now, so maybe it was a bad choice.
You wouldn't do it. And why wouldn't you do it?
Because I think it might have been a bad choice to do it. Well, no. I wouldn't vote for him now that I've seen his record and all that old stuff, so... at the time, it seemed like a very good choice. At the time, I even made some quote-unquote enemies by going for him versus Hillary Clinton, you know, and campaigning for him. As a matter of fact, I think he was one of the first campaigns that actually donated money to national campaigns anyway. You know, whatever.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your input today. 888-874-4888. Neil from Connecticut. You're next.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Do you have a question that you want to respond to, or should I pose a new question to you?
Oh, that would be fun, but I had decided to answer the first.
Okay. The first question was, will you be voting in the presidential election this time around? If so, why? If not, why not?
Yes. I'll qualify that. If I have not been raptured by the time the election comes, I will be voting in the next presidential election.
Okay, and what informs that decision?
The need for a third party, or at least my opinion, that I'm feeling that there is a need for a third party. Technically, you could say second party, because I believe we're in a uniparty system anyway. But there's a need for a new party. Specifically,
presumably, in your answer, you're saying that you're voting because neither the Republican Party nor the Democratic Party suffice.
Yes, let me hold on a second. Okay. Could you repeat that?
I said, I suppose that you came to this decision because you don't see that the Republican Party or the Democratic Party will basically respond the way you want it to respond. And that's why a third party, in your view, is the answer.
Well put, my professor.
So that, did I hit it right?
Right on the nose. Oh. I'm going to vote for the M, that's M as in Mary, P as in Peter, MPP, the People's Party. It's also called the Movement for a People's Party. Their leader and national coordinator is named Nick Brana, B-R-A-N-A. He's the person to talk to now. I don't believe there's a candidate for president or vice president yet, and that's probably because they're focusing on local government. They're focusing first on local government. Of course, they're looking at the midterm elections.
How would your choice or your decision, how would it create something new?
Well, I think we're talking about kitchen table issues, and we're talking about left-right issues, as Professor Ralph Nader would put it. The people's needs, which are not being met by either the Republican or Democratic Party. And I say that broadly, the people's needs. I'm referring to infrastructure. I'm referring to corruption. I'm referring to getting money out of politics. So that's one of their foci. I almost said focuses. They're looking at the midterm elections, and so there's no candidates offered as of yet, but I'm not worried about that.
All right. Well,
I voted Hawkins last presidential election, and to answer the question, when was the last time I thought my voting made a difference? My voting for president made a difference, and that would have been McGovern. But the that was taken care of. That was handled very neatly by the monkey business about his running mate, Eagleton. They smeared him pretty badly. So it didn't make a difference, but that's the one I thought would.
Well, I thank you for contributing today. Thanks so much. Harvey from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much, Yutris. Wonderful show. I'm calling for the first time and listening to you since we came up BI.
Welcome.
And,
welcome.
I admire you very, very much. Let me tell you, I would take voting for Donald Trump. I have realized that I don't know what it is, but you are on this side, a little far away from Donald Trump, I should be very frank. And I should say that a lot of your voters, you have kept voters, excuse me, those your listeners who are a little bit more on the Trump side, you've kept them silent and you're mute because of, I think, your stand. I think you should shift a little bit to the center so you can bring them in. The world runs differently. We see the world physically. The world runs spiritually. where everything is zero spiritually. Donald Trump is the only candidate that I know, a presidential candidate that has predicted. People had a lot of prophecy about this man from years and years, a lot of prophecy. No other presidential candidate had all that prophecy about who he is. Donald Trump is fluoride because, one, he spoke the truth to the American people. He told them who runs America. And that was led out of that cat was out of the basket. I will never go back. Number two, Donald Trump.
Just slow down a little bit because
we
need to hear every single word you say.
Thank you. Donald Trump is the only candidate, only president we know so far. When asked, he said, he's not the boss. Jesus Christ is the boss. That resonated very, very heavily in a country that stands to be a God-chosen nation. That
do you think
change.
He said these things because he knew that a certain segment of people who had not been appealed to would find it, in fact, very appealing, and on the basis of that would support him? Or do you believe it was sincere?
You could be right. That could be a point. But the other point about it is that, again, I don't know of any, go back and do the research, I don't know of any candidate who men of God, upon men of God, had predicted this man will come. And God chooses, God doesn't choose the best, the brightest. He chooses anyone.
But, you know, there are different interpretations in. This is why I kind of stay away from discussing religion, because it, everybody has a different view. Everybody has a different interpretation. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty of deciding on a political issue, I shy away from mixing it up with religion, because to me, they're two entirely different things. One may involve the other. Religion, some people may exercise their religious beliefs in making a political choice. But in the United States, I think it has been accepted that you leave religion out of it. That's your personal choice. And then you deal with the political issue, which is more broadly interpreted.
I respect that, Mr. Reese. You're very correct. I respect that. And I respect that. But the fact is that whether we, I mean, that's a fact, but the fact is that the whole world runs spiritually. We may refuse that, we may throw that aside, but the whole world, before things come to physical, is all settled in the spiritual. And I know you're not like this.
You see, you're presenting it,
which is,
for many people, a theoretical basis. You're presenting a theory as fact. And I don't know that you have proof that what you're presenting as fact really is factual. That's what you think, or that is what you're promulgating, or that is what you're advancing for consideration, but I don't know that that is necessarily a fact. When it comes to politics, people have different ways of interpreting their realities. And the history of the United States, especially when it comes to politics, is that people tend to confine their opinions to the political realities that we share, and not the spiritual realities that we don't even know what other people share or what other people think. So is it politically acceptable that what you are thinking is what I should be thinking?
I don't want to. I do agree with you very 100%. I don't want to spill that a bit. I just want to. It's true that we look at things. That's the way we're brought up. That's the way we as humans, we look at things in the fiscal, political, and all that. That's true. But quite frankly, I hate to disappoint you, but Donald Trump, the next president, he will.
Why do you say hate to disappoint me? How do you know?
Yeah, because. I have followed you. You have a lot of distinguished callers who call, and then you try. I've been listening. First time calling, but I've been listening. I'm a strong listener. I listen. A lot of callers have called you in the past, and when they try to go around Trump area, try to support Trump, this thing, you brush them off, and you know, it's not very. So you've made them silent. A lot of listeners, so many of them are silent.
But you see, you're missing the point. Yeah. You're missing the point. Even whatever you think I'm thinking of Donald Trump, I do not like a discussion that basically lambastes him. I like a discussion. Give me some facts that back up your opinion about Trump. Let's talk facts. Don't tell me what you like about him or what you hate about him. Let's talk facts. Okay. And if you can't produce facts or anything rooted in reality, I tend to want to move on.
That's fine. I thank you, Richard. The thing is, what I just say is that I don't have the facts. I have a lot of facts to present to you. But the fact is that he won the heart of the people because he told them the truth. One, that the people have been deceived. They don't run the country. That deep state runs the country. He told them that. And that will never go out.
That's
two,
his opinion, that, you see. That, he didn't present a poll, did he?
Yep.
He didn't present any factual material to back up that assertion. He just made a statement. Okay. And this has been passing for fact in the United States, all over the world. People just make statements. And they make statements deliberately to excite parts of the political constituency they hope to get support and response from. Donald Trump has no way to show that what he said is factually based. He just says it. And therefore, it is fact, which is, you know, you can't do that and be credible.
Okay, Richard, thank you so much. So that was really nice.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate your call and I appreciate your contribution today. Thank you. Ed from Queens, you're on the air next. What are you willing to accept as a question?
Good afternoon, by the way.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. I can accept all of them as a question. As far as voting and the effectiveness of it, in my opinion, as long as the Electoral College is in this country, voting is your vote as an individual voter. Your effectiveness is sort of nullified because, specifically for the presidential campaign, it's a numbers game. If a certain candidate or individual in either one of these uniparties can pull off the right amount of numbers in the right amount of states, they win. So, I mean, we've seen it time and time again, from Bush v. Gore to Clinton, you know, I mean, to Trump. It's the Electoral College. It's that concession that was made during slavery for the Southern states by this government to keep the Union. As long as we have the Electoral College, you don't get true representative voting. It's a numbers game, and mass appeals can be made to specific states, and there's a mathematical formula that nullifies your vote. So as far as the national vote for president, I vote because I believe in exercising the franchise. I believe that our ancestors, our forefathers, fought for the right to vote, and I believe we should exercise the franchise. But that being said, I don't put any stock in it having any effectiveness, specifically in a presidential campaign, because with the Electoral College, it's a numbers game. So until you get rid of the Electoral College, then you can talk about the effectiveness of the individual or group vote.
But aren't you being contradictory when you do something like that, and in fact nullifying the value of the black vote?
Like I said, when you're talking about a presidential race or any type of national race, congressmen, senators, you're talking about a group effort. You're talking about mobilization. Voting is a small part of the political process. It's the end result of inquiry, of campaigning, of legislating, of gerrymandering. You've got to be voting is just an act. You've got to be involved in the whole process if you want your vote or if you want a substantial amount of participants in your community's votes to count. You have to know how your district is set up. You have to know how what issues are there. You have to know the candidates. It's a process to vote. Voting is kind of overrated if you're not involved in the total process in making that an effective and powerful decision. You know?
Well, I can't argue against the power of your argument. You make a strong argument. And thank you for offering it for our consideration today. Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you're next. You're up on the air. What is your question? Do you want a new one? I got a whole bunch.
I'm pretty sure you do, but I don't want to get caught up.
Yeah, I got it. Unknown. I got it. I just got smacked. It's all right. It's okay. I'm still your friend.
And I'm your friend too. Hope all is well with you. Nice. But I'm going to take the first one. In regards to voting, I think right now.
Let me just remind people what the first question was. Will you be voting in the presidential election? If so, why? And if so, if not, why not?
I think I'm going to withdraw from voting in the next presidential election. And I'm starting to understand, and, you know, we're all going through this process of actually understanding politics. And I'm starting to understand that withdrawing my vote in this next presidential election, but I'm also considering just withdrawing my vote in total because of the fact that I actually see power in not voting. And when people talk about, you know, voting and, you know, the power of the vote and, you know, exercising the franchise, you know, I kind of see where when people who don't vote, who make a conscious effort not to vote, I see where that's going because, and I hope a lot of other people do this as well, to just not vote because I believe that it's like a bell at work or school, where once the bell rings, you know, everybody gets up and goes to work or goes to school. And it's more of a hypnotizing mechanism because of the fact that technically, you know, when you're talking about voting, and as other callers and people have said on the show before, you're not really voting for Democrat or Republicans. You're basically voting for one party. So I think the best way to do this as a people, as a collective, is to not vote for either party. Because I feel like this, you know, people talk about, you know, we got conservatives talking to people who vote for the Democrats as the, you know, slave plantation, you know, politics, the Democratic Party. But, you know, they never say the Republican Party is the same way, which, like I said, they're both slave plantations. So I say it like this. We're going to treat them like slave plantations. Let's be like the rebellious slaves and let's burn down the plantations. Burn down both of them. And I think the best way to do it is to not vote for either one of them.
Well, how about this counter argument? And that is, some people would love you to implement your plan of not voting at all for either party. Because, in fact, you would have done for this system what the system actually had been they've been planning. If they could do it themselves, they would have done it by now.
Well, I take a different approach on that. I think the system wants us to vote. And I think they want us to vote so we can basically verify the system. And to make the system legitimate. Because what do they always say? You know, this is a so-called democratic country. And whoever,
yeah,
we have...
they say, that's what they say. But the numbers indicate that the black vote, the Latino vote in particular, are fiercely loyal votes. They don't care how badly the Democratic Party has treated them. They continue to vote for the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. And I say this because if we as a collective, and I'm talking about the non-white people, the black and Latino votes, decide to withdraw from voting for anybody, I think this system would not only attack us, but it'll attack us in a way where we're being unpatriotic. But I think that's what we need to do, because everybody is screaming for a third party. But the problem is that you can't have a third party until you destroy the duopoly. Destroy the Democratic Party and the Republican Party if you want a third party. It will never happen as long as those two parties are running the political gambit right now.
So you smacked me in the face, I see.
Believe me, Utrice, I've been smacked in the face a lot of times.
You just took my argument, which I thought was a pretty decent counter-argument, and you just smacked me all over my face with it. All right. I'm not mad at you. I like when you make credible arguments. I like when people make credible arguments and shut me up. Even for a couple of minutes, I'd be fine. But you make some strong points there, and they have to be dealt with if people are going to make credible arguments about a third party possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You can't discuss a third party without, you know, attacking every single possible rationale against it. You know, you have to come up with some rational explanation as to why a third party makes sense, looks impossible to do.
It makes sense, but the problem is that there's a big giant in the room, and it's the duopoly. You cannot have room for a third party and those two giant parties there. You have to destroy that party in order for a third party to flourish. I agree with a third party, but the problem is that, you know, I look at it from a point of military science. You can't have a superpower, you know, in the room and try to develop another superpower. So
part of the issue is people are not, maybe this would happen, but it would be quite some time before it happens. But people haven't taken to the idea of the possibility of a third party and what it can cause politically, the changes it could cause. They haven't been educated about a third party. Frankly, the third party is underfunded and will continue to be underfunded because it is running a poor people's campaign as a political campaign. That's not going to work. And people have to take an interest in supporting those things that are relevant to them. So we have to go back to the drawing board here at square one. What is the message? How do we get it to the people for whom we supposedly are fighting or want to fight? And, you know, do we have, at what point do we reach a substantial percentage of support that we can now deal strictly with politics? Right now, it seems to me the thing that you have to deal with is raising money. You have to have a war chest. And that is not yet achieved. So we have to concentrate on raising money, stashing it, having it available so you can fund candidates, many candidacies all over the place at the same time. You wouldn't win all of them, but strategic use of those funds will help us move along. And we have to consider it as a major issue, a number one issue. Thanks, Henry, for calling in and contributing as usual. So I forgive the smacks. They were worth it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. They were kind smacks. That's the first thing. Rob from New York, you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah. On the question of voting for this upcoming presidential election, I mean, I will be doing it, but I mean, again, I don't have any delusions about what I'm voting for here. Again, it comes for the question of what I consider to be the lesser evil of options, and so that's where my head is at. But I mean, I'm astute enough to
Before you take off from that point, which party will be the lesser evil?
Okay. Well, I'll just expose my liberal bias here and say that I believe that the Democrats will be the lesser evil.
Oh, really? Okay. So you're voting Democrat this year. That's your intention. All right. So you made that clear. That was important.
And the assumption, I'm operating under the assumption that Biden will be the candidate that is put forth. Mainly, ultimately, that's what I'm operating under the assumption of. But I mean, again, it really—I'm not sure it even matters. It's just, I guess, whatever Democrat they put forth is the one I'll be voting for. You know.
Okay. So, what is it about the Democrats that impresses you more so than the Republicans?
Well, I'm not sure if impress is the word. I think that it's more a thing of them being less depressing. It's just...
What a reason. Well, they're less depressing than the other folks, so I'll vote for the other folks. Oh, my gosh. Do you feel good about saying these things as a commitment you're making to your political choices?
I don't feel good about saying it, but I think it's better than being delusional about it. I mean, there's a lot that really has to be done
I understand
country,
your position.
Right.
I just wanted it to be more clear. I understand. Okay, so you're not going to be happy even as you make this choice.
No, I'm not going to be happy. And the thing is that there is so much that the party could really do to turn the tide in this country. And the Republicans are really... they're really giving them a lot of openings because they're not supporting any policy initiatives that most people are on board with, especially economic. But it's just a case where it's just a mass psychosis it's a psychosis that Trump is feeding into with his base that's helped propelling them. And I mean, it could easily be challenged by the Democrats, but the thing is that they're so addicted. At least as far as party officials, the higher ups, they're so addicted to the corporate money that they're almost, they're indifferent to what's happening.
So are the Democrats more addicted to corporate money than the Democrats are? Are the Republicans more addicted than the Democrats are to corporate money?
Well, they're... I don't know if it's a case that they're less addicted, but they're more willing to pretend that they care about the people. And that's important because what that translates into is it's a less harsh assault on the quality of life of working class people.
Okay. I see where you're going. And what will be a definitive change from your perspective? Not so much about the Republicans, because it doesn't look like you expect much of a change, but from the point of view of the Democrats.
A definitive change?
Yes.
Like one thing?
Yes. One thing that you think would be extremely important for the Democrats to convey.
Okay. With the pandemic in mind. Okay, so that would be universal health care beyond the limitations of the Affordable Care Act. So Medicare for all would be a big change.
That's a good answer. Are you surprised that you came up with that answer just at the tip of your fingers like that? Or were you thinking about this all the time?
Well, I mean, it stays on my mind a lot, so it's not really something that I had to do a lot of thinking to pull up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good, too. Well, thank you very much for contributing today. I really like the fact that you called in and contributed your couple of cents to the pot. We'll continue. So tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. Anything goes on Free Your Mind Friday, pretty much whatever it is you're thinking. So consider that as an opportunity to continue your point. Thank you very much, Rob, for calling in today. Thank you all for calling in and opening up new vistas in our minds about how we are thinking as the election proceeds and what we ought to be thinking as well. I appreciate all your calls. Tomorrow, as I said, is Friday. Feel free to continue your point on Free Your Mind Friday, or maybe talk about something different. As long as it is from your mind, that's what matters to me. Thanks again. We'll meet up with each other again tomorrow and talk some more. Bye-bye.